Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection, the Charlotte area podcast linking entrepreneurs, investors, and the broader Charlotte community. As you know, our goal here is to interview the individuals who are building, shaping, and influencing entrepreneurship in the Charlotte region so you can stay invested in Charlotte's growth. In today's session, we continue our interview with three very impressive companies and their founders: Catapult with Justin Witz, Fensify with Jason Aspiotis, and Commandiv with John Zettler. As a quick reminder from our last episode, we mainly discussed what's it like to be part of an incubator, what they gave up to move here, what an incubator program offers young founders, and then obviously I wanted to dig a little bit more into the aspects and benefits of the QC FinTech program. Not to forget about the individual companies as we start to talk about them, Catapult with Justin Witz is streamlining the RFP process using a blockchain environment, which secures the documents during the sharing process. For those that don't know, RFP is Request for Proposals, and Catapult is mainly focusing in on the financial community right now. Fensify is a platform for transparency. Fensify with Jason Aspiotis is a platform for transparency and mission-oriented banking products. It allows consumers to direct their deposits into the missions they care about rather than being invested or lent to undesirable causes and companies. So the one example we talked about with Jason in the last episode was this would have allowed consumers to have stopped their money from being lent to buy Wells Fargo to the companies that were building the pipeline back in 2016-2017. And finally, Commandiv is a stock trading platform with automated investment advice built in. It's a turnkey asset management product allowing consumers to use hedge fund level strategies in their own portfolios. In essence, it's a more personalized robo-investment platform. So as we were going through our interview, I wanted to focus a little bit at first on, you know, the incubator process, what's it like, and then I wanted to shift and focus and give these founders a little bit of an opportunity to highlight their own companies. So today's episode, we're going to explore, are they raising money, what's their target market, how do they monetize the business model, and finally we'll circle back around and we'll talk about what the founders are currently working on in their products. So great interview, hope you'll enjoy it as much as I did in the recording process.
So just keep on that track as far as companies go, so off of the program a little bit more and into, you know, some of the things that you're doing within the company. So Justin, we'll start back over at Catapult, RFP blockchain process. How are you bringing that to market? What's your target market? How are you monetizing it? And I guess before you answer those two questions, are any of y'all raising money right now?
I think we all are.
They're all in the process of raising money?
Commandiv, we just finished a round.
Okay,
we finished a round. We're comfortable for a while.
Okay.
Congrats.
Congratulations. So otherwise, Fensify and Catapult are both raising money and can be contacted as such. So how do you monetize and how do you target? Or who's your target and how do you target?
Yeah, right now we're focused on the financial services industry. Our parent company, thankfully, is got a great name in the industry of financial services. So we have over 40 different Fortune 2500 companies that utilize the platform. Roughly 3,800 users that are financial advisors, broker-dealers, record-keepers, TPAs, already on the PlanTools platform. So for us, our go-to-market strategy is pipelining through pre-existing relationships.
Okay.
There's a new DOL regulation that goes into effect called the new fiduciary rule on June 9th, and at which point all 700,000-plus retirement plans have to go through an RFP process. We're anticipating at 20%, we'll go through that RFP process. It'll be a five-year turnover. And so that's literally where we're targeting first. So our platform is built in an agnostic form. We basically can go to any industry and adopt. We've met all the government standards and regulations and requirements for processing an RFP. But again, just with that target focus on the financial side.
How do you find those, or how do they find you, those retirement plan providers?
If you want to find us directly, website would probably be the quickest way, catapult or plantools.com. otherwise, we're going to be marketing at conferences, obviously through a lot of web-based campaigns as well.
Okay, awesome. So, Jason, how do you monetize it? Who's your target market? Obviously, you said millennials, I guess, is the place you're starting off, but how do you find them?
Yeah.
How do they find you? And then how do you make money off of the concept?
Sure. And I like to restate the millennials' assertion, because it's not just millennials that care about what their money does,
yeah,
whether it's supporting, you know, things that we care about, things that are valuable for society and environment. But millennials do present a unique environment for us to for early adopters. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Millennials are digital savvy. A lot of them are just starting to consider savings, checking, and longer-term deposit accounts. A lot of them don't like mainstream financial services.
They don't have as much of risk either, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Not as much of risk, and you know, they can go away from their traditional banking providers that are offering them 0.00001%.
Are they offering that much now?
So that's why we're going after millennials in general as our first slash early adopters.
Okay.
How do we find them? Millennials are usually very digitally vocal about what they care about, especially in social media. So we think we have an approach to finding at least our early adopters through social media, targeted marketing campaigns based on known affinity to any specific causes.
Okay.
So that would be our first approach, along with organic growth, word of mouth, and finding influencers in those spaces that will promote us, especially if we have a social and environmental conscious about what we're trying to do. So that's how we'll go about finding our first customers. How do we monetize? So we will be offering our platform to banks, sort of a white label model.
Okay.
And for every deposit that we bring in, we will get a piece of the net interest.
Okay.
We're looking at about 50 to 100 basis points per deposit we bring in.
So you're not setting up your own bank. You're
No.
essentially going to serve, you know, alongside or behind or in front of all of your traditional institutions.
Yeah, because you know, there's no need for a new bank. There's just a need of transformation of existing banking norms.
Okay.
To do more good. And there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. We just want to transform through our technology and our platform how banks approach social and environmentally responsible investments to the back end.
Okay.
And it's, and you know, the big elephant is starting a new bank is not easy.
Yeah.
You know, it costs upwards of $20 million just to get your foot in the door, and maybe you'll get approved.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, there's new regulations out there for fintech charters,
yeah,
which I've had many discussions about, but at the end of the day, yeah, they're open to releasing new charters,
yeah,
but you still have to meet all the requirements from a compliance perspective, capital adequacy perspective, having the right mix of experienced individuals. Everything the bank has to do to start, you have to do, but maybe you have a better chance because they will give you a fintech charter if you check off the box.
Okay.
So it's still hard.
Yeah. So awesome. John.
Yeah, so at Commandiv, who we're targeting are late 20s and 30-year-old, you know, in their 30s of self-directed investors. So these are people from, you know, if we're talking personas, right? We're talking about bankers, we're talking about lawyers, talking about accountants, talking about MBAs and other professionals who are starting to earn a sizable amount of money but don't have a primary investment services relationship yet. So, you know, first and foremost, would recommend anyone listening to this podcast to go to commandiv.com and sign up on your email there. That's what we're doing right now to, you know, build a wait list. And there's both rewards and perks for bringing your friends onto the wait list too. Lower fees, access to free months of service. And so we're growing organically that way right now with our wait list. Beyond that, you know, we have a couple of other strategies as well as, you know, a give and get sort of program whereby even once the product is openly inviting other users on, by bringing on your friends, you can give them 3 months of free service and get some 3 months of free service yourself.
Okay. So monetize it?
Oh, yeah. So we charge between 0.25% and 0.49%
okay.
of your assets under management. So, you know, if you're thinking about saving all of the customization of a financial advisor and being able to be smart and be directed in how you're managing your money, a full service financial advisor might cost you 1%. In some cases in New York, it might be 1.5%.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can be a quarter of that.
Okay.
or between a quarter and a half of that price. And you really can do it all yourself. If you have the right tools and you've got the right product that can guide you along the way, this is certainly something within your domain.
Okay, awesome. So as John was giving us his website a few minutes ago, Jason and Justin both paused for a second. How can they find you as well?
We smiled and high-fived John virtually. But
Yeah, exactly.
So Finsophy is www.finsophy.com, and I'll spell that out. It's Finsophy. And the inspiration of the name actually is financial philosophy combined. So
okay.
Finsophy. Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. Thanks.
And mine's catapulthq.com.
Okay. What's your, we'll go opposite order again. So we'll start John, we'll come across to Jason, and then go Justin. Jason, maybe on the next one, we'll get you first. I don't know.
Sounds good.
What's your focus right now? I'd say what's your pain point, but let's not talk about pain. What's your focus in the business at present moment? And I realize that might change tomorrow, but today, what's your focus?
Yeah, we're really excited about building and pushing out new features into the product. It's ready to go, and we're managing our money.
Is it live?
We are waiting on the SEC.
Okay.
So we are an investment advisor and give fiduciary standard investment advice.
Yeah.
In order to do that, we need to be registered with the SEC as an investment advisor, as everyone does in order to give investment advice for compensation, as they should. We're waiting on them to approve our application, and then we can start bringing on external clients and charging revenue.
Gotcha.
But otherwise, we're managing our own money right now through the product. It's live and it's working. But
so the product's live. You're just waiting on SEC to give you approval to have clients be live.
And earning revenue. That's exactly right. And what our biggest focus right now is, we are adding a new feature right now called custom target portfolios. Mm-hmm. So, think about a Betterment or think about a Wealthfront where they're going to put you and force fit you into a cookie cutter portfolio and say, hey, this is what you need to invest in.
Yeah.
Now, in reality, they're doing that to bring down their own costs.
Yep.
You actually own a piece of a master fund based in the Cayman Islands, and they block trade all your shares together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of inherent risk in that. And also, I don't want that portfolio that you're telling me because I'm a smart person and I have expressions that I want to invest this way. So we crack that open. We allow you to now drag and drop and move the exact strategies you want. You say, hey, I want exposure to U.S. technology companies because I think they're going to grow. Or I want, a larger amount of municipal debt because I like the tax advantage of that interest income in my portfolio. We broke that open and allow you to create your own allocations and then dynamically make the trade suggestions you need with the lowest cost products, the best products for each one of those strategies, all in the right proportions, laid out for you into the tickers and number of shares to allow you to execute all those trades. So that's a new feature that we're just wrapping up now.
Okay.
We're really excited about it, and it'll be part of our launch set of features. So that's one thing that's been taking up a lot of Tom's and my time, but having a lot of fun with it too, which is really good. Yeah,
it sounds like it. So features enhancing the product.
That's right.
Yeah. So Jason, focus, attention, where is it?
So I'd say we're a few months behind where John and Commander are. We are in the process of building our beta platform. And I'll say with a smiling face that actually our beta platform is what we're calling Spaceful. And from the name of it, you probably infer that it's in support of the space industry. And my background is space. I've been in the space industry for over 10 years. There's a lot of people out there, including Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson, that are pushing humanity towards, outward, the solar system. And we feel that it's an opportune time to actually create a mission-oriented banking platform for the space industry to test our hypothesis. If there's an insured savings account out there that supports this mission, will people draw out to it? So we have a wait list. We've demonstrated people care about this. We've shown that people are coming to our site and converting to wanting to be customers of this, and we're building to launch it this summer.
Okay.
So we'll be in the same stage as what John is. From a regulatory perspective, we're getting compliance coverage and FDIC insurance through our bank partner.
Okay.
So we don't actually need specific license from the FDIC, but we have to build the standards of our banking integration partner, which we're doing in the next few months.
Did you get that bank partner from as a result of being here at QC FinTech, or did you bring that with you?
We brought that with us,
yeah.
But they are a small bank, And the bigger the bank, the more flexibility we have for the long term. And so being here, we're really, I guess, second point of attention for us is finding, you know, who's that next partner for us.
Okay.
And it could be a few more small banks, or it could be a big bank.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. So good luck.
Thank you.
Justin, what's the focus right now today?
Along with Jason, we're preparing to launch a beta in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
We have 16 Fortune 500 companies already signed up to beta test, and we have a couple hundred as well in queue ready to go as well. So really the focus is just that preparation for getting them on their testing, allocating the feedback, building out the next stages of features, along with machine learning that we want to adopt into our platform right now. So we won a big deal with IBM where they gave us $120,000 towards their Bluemix platform. So right now the phase is integrating that into what we currently have, and then building out further with machine learning.
Okay. So awesome. Quick question. Oh, we're wrapping up on time. So good deal. Well, gosh, I got like five more questions for each one of you. But I just got the signal from Dan outside that we're needing to wrap up too. So John, Jason, Justin, thanks for carving out some time with us today.
Thank you.
I'll ask for some more so we can come back up and I can answer or get my next five questions answered. But anyways, good luck to each one of you. Certainly look forward to seeing you present at Demo Day in June 21st. Yes. 21st is exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
We'll release this before then, or at least it would definitely be released before June 21st. So good luck over the course of the next couple weeks. Good luck with approval and your beta launches as well. So thanks so much for carving out some time for us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Again, great interview with Jason, Justin, and John. Really thank a lot of the founders as well as the companies that they're developing. They've got long runways ahead of them. And, yeah, I mean, again, what's Dan Roselli and the team at QC FinTech have done a great job at identifying good companies and also good founders. So I think that's been highlighted over the course of the last four episodes, and certainly hope you agree with me. As you could tell, unfortunately, that this interview was actually cut a few questions short. As you've probably learned over the course of the last couple episodes, these founders are extraordinarily busy building their companies, building out their product or their platform, meeting with advisors, meeting with potential investors, and an unbelievable amount of other tasks on a daily basis. So while I wanted to explore more about their underlying businesses, as you can tell, we just were not able to do so. I hope to stay in touch with Jason and Justin and John over the course of the next 6 to 9 months so that I can continue to give you an update on their businesses. They're all working on great companies. Obviously, they gave you their websites. Please, you know, go visit their website, explore around a little bit, follow them on Twitter or Facebook or some medium or platform that you can continue to track what they're doing as they continue to go through the second stage of the incubator process. Our next podcast will be an interview I did with Walt Fry earlier this year. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Walt, but he is a fantastic person. He's a great advocate for the startup and angel community in Charlotte. At the time of this interview, Walt had recently stepped into a new role with the Charlotte Regional Foundation for Entrepreneurship, CRFE. It's a great interview where Walt walks us through a host of different issues facing the startup community here in Charlotte. It's going to be a little bit of a longer podcast as it wasn't quite long enough to break into two. The reason for the delay in releasing this episode was due to some technical and sound issues that I had in the recording that it took me a little while to walk through, break down, solve, and ultimately get released to you. So hope you enjoyed today's podcast. We look forward to having you tune in next week to another episode of the Charlotte Angel Connection. Thanks so much. William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, 51A under the Company Act, or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.